chapter after chapter, the writer of Hebrews has taken time to show us how Jesus is better than everything else. Jesus is better than angels. He sits at the right hand of God. Jesus is better than Moses. He has far greater glory and is not simply God's servant, but God's son. Jesus is better than any other high priest, and he brings a better covenant than the old covenant. Jesus' sacrifice was better than the sacrifice of any lamb or goat. Lamb and goats never took away sin, but the sacrifice of Jesus took away sin once and for all, promising eternal life, salvation. This is what we hope for, salvation. But this promise of forgiveness of sin and salvation by grace needs to be accepted through faith. The hope Jesus offers needs to be accepted through faith. And this is why faith matters. Because it's the application of this whole book of Hebrews. If you're reading over and over how Jesus is better and you're wondering what you're supposed to do with all of that, the answer is to put your faith in him. Now that we're in like the back end of the book, the language is starting to shift from explaining why Jesus is better to explaining what we should do about it. You'll start seeing more and more of those phrases like, since X, let us Z. Right? Because of this, let us do this. We just saw this one chapter ago. Actually, if you have a look at chapter 10, chapter 10 recaps so much of what makes Jesus better and how we are to respond to that in faith. Have a look at verse 19. Keep an eye out for the since X, let us Z. Therefore, brothers, verse 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So our response to Jesus being better is a full assurance of faith and holding fast to our hope. And this brings us to chapter 11. This is where we're up to now. Because beginning with Genesis, chapter 11 gives us sort of like a highlight reel of some of the major examples of people responding to God in faith throughout history, recorded for us in Scripture. Now, there's so much that we can learn about faith from the lives of these people and this chapter in general, but I'm going to zoom in on three things specifically to do with that hope of salvation that we look forward to with assurance. Okay, just three things, right, for the sake of attention spans and small bladders and leg cramps and hungry tummies, whatever's going on for you today. All right. Three things we learn about faith and salvation from this passage. Faith is how we receive our salvation. Faith is how we live out our salvation. And faith is how we protect our salvation. How we receive our salvation, how we live it out, and how we protect it. So firstly, faith is how we receive our salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. God saves us in his grace, and we receive that salvation through faith. Faith is the attitude where we stop relying on ourselves and our own efforts to obtain salvation, and we receive salvation by the grace of God. And let's look at Hebrews 11 for some examples of this, right? Have a look at verse 4. 11 verse 4, we're going to work through this verse by verse. Chapter 11 verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. So by faith, Abel was commended as righteous, and through his faith, he was saved to eternal life beyond the grave. Let's look at verse 5. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. It's the same thing again. By faith, Enoch was saved from death and given eternal life. And this was because beforehand, by faith, he was commended as righteous and pleasing to God. Let's look at verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So now we see that faith in God isn't just one option to salvation. It's the only way. It's impossible without faith. Have a look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Here, we see Noah having faith in what was unseen to him at the time, and by that faith, he and his family received salvation. Anyone that didn't have that faith were condemned. Now, Noah's family, they were saved immediately from the flood, but that was actually just a shadow of the even better salvation Noah would receive. As it says, that same faith meant he would ultimately inherit righteousness from God. So bottom line here is that we see that by faith, these people receive salvation. Now, check out Romans 5. It'll be on the screen, because I reckon this helps us grasp in more detail the relationship between faith and our promised hope of salvation. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we are justified by faith, which means if you have faith in Christ, you now have peace with God. That's what it says. If you have faith in Christ, you have access into the grace of God and can rejoice in that hope of salvation, eternal life in God's glory. Remember, faith is the attitude of complete trust in Christ, reliance on him alone for salvation. John 3:16 says, God gave his only Son that whoever believes in him, Jesus, shall not perish but have eternal life. In Acts 16, when the Philippian jailer asked, "Men, what must I do to be saved?" Paul and Silas answered without hesitation, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved." Faith in Jesus is the only way we can receive salvation. Now let's pause for a second, because some of you might have picked up on what's odd about this. All of those examples that we just read in Hebrews 11 were hundreds of years before Jesus was born, right? In fact, they were actually even hundreds of years before God's promise of Christ, the Messiah, to King David. So what were these people putting their faith in then? Who were they putting their faith in? Is Romans talking about a new kind of faith that's different to the faith being spoken about in Hebrews? No. Receiving the hope of salvation from God has always been by faith in the same way. Check out verse 24, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. Have a look. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Did you catch that? When Moses chose to be mistreated with God's people rather than live a life of privilege with Pharaoh's people, he was actually regarding disgrace for the sake of Christ as having greater value than all the riches of Egypt. That's what he was doing. Jesus Christ hadn't arrived yet, and Moses didn't know of him, but he faced disgrace for God's people in a way that was a shadow of when Jesus faced disgrace for God's people on the cross. Moses' faith was in the same God and in the same promise, even if he didn't know how that promise would eventually be fulfilled in Jesus. And remember, that's what Hebrews has defined Moses' faith as: his assurance of the hope that God promised him and the conviction of what he couldn't see. That's what his faith is about. So how blessed are we? I don't know if you're thinking this the same at the moment. How blessed are we to be born on this side of the cross, right? Where so much more has been seen and we have so much more reason to have faith. Now we do know how Jesus has fulfilled his promises. People did see Jesus. Thomas even touched his wounds from the cross after Jesus rose again. In Hebrews, we see that all of these people in the Old Testament achieved salvation through faith, and that was made possible through Jesus Christ and what he did hundreds of years later. This is exactly what the whole book of Hebrews is on about, showing Jewish readers at the time and us here today that everything we see in the Old Testament was about Jesus all along. God's people have always lived by faith in his promises, even if they didn't know how those promises would be fulfilled. And that brings me to point number two, which is that faith is not just how we receive salvation, faith is how we live out our salvation. Faith isn't just a momentary thing that happens when we receive salvation, it's something we spend the rest of our lives living out. Because our assurance of hope and our conviction of what isn't seen drives everything we do. Go to a chapter before, to chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 37. Chapter 10, verse 37. It says, "For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." Live by faith. Now have a look on the screen. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6 says, "So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight." Faith is something we live out. Next term, we're looking at the book of James. And one of the things that the book of James challenges is that mistake of thinking, hey, if we're saved by grace through faith and not by works, then I guess my works don't matter, right? No. We're saved by faith alone, absolutely, but real faith is never alone. Real faith leads to action. Let's look at some examples. Back to Hebrews 11, have a look at verse 8. Faith in action. Verse 8. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." So you can see how faith is something we live out, can't you? Can you imagine, you know, God's talking and saying, "Abraham, do you have faith in me that as I call you to travel to this unknown place, do you have faith in me?" And Abraham's like, "Absolutely, 100%. And God's like, "So you're going to go?" "Yeah, no, I don't think so, not really." Clearly there's no faith, right? And of course, Abraham showed how strong his faith was later on. Have a look, verse 17. Hebrews 11, verse 17. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.' He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." See, people often think that test of Abraham and Isaac was, I guess, almost simply just purely a test for Abraham to prove his love and commitment to God, like a test of whether he was willing to lose his son to obey God. And there's an element of that in the background, for sure, but the whole point is that Abraham wasn't expecting to lose his son to prove something to God, because God had already promised Abraham that through Isaac, he will have more descendants than stars in the sky and sand on the beach. So knowing that Isaac had no descendants at this point, the test was whether Abraham had faith that somehow God was still going to keep this promise. Earlier on, Abraham had faith in God's promise that he and Sarah would have a child despite both being old and infertile, and God kept his promise. So now the test is whether Abraham has faith that God has power not only over infertility, but over death. And Abraham did have faith that God had power over death. And you can see again how this faith is the same faith we have in Jesus, who ultimately would be the one to conquer death for us. Abraham didn't know how God was going to conquer death, but he had faith that God could and that he would, because he had faith in God's promise. And then we get more and more examples, generation after generation, of people living out their salvation by faith. Check out verse 20. Verse 20. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. So if you're feeling a bit overwhelmed here, here's the recap. Chapter 11 begins with a definition of faith that links it with the hope of salvation. And then it goes on to show how this assurance of hope, of knowing what was promised to come, empowered people for a whole life of radical obedience to God. Of crazy life and death obedience and trusting God. Chapter 11 is a catalogue of people, basically, who illustrate that this kind of faith, the assurance of things hoped for, makes a difference in how we live. This is helpful because some people mistakenly think that if you live with a strong faith, like living out your faith, then you can expect that you will prosper and life will improve and it'll be a breeze because, you know, you've got a strong faith. And if things are falling apart, you must be living with a weak faith. That's crazy. Right? I mean, just look at what happens to people in this chapter. It's crazy. God's promise to us isn't, if you do X, Y, Z with faith, then it will work out the way you wanted. The promise is that Jesus offers eternal life to anyone who repents and turns to him in faith as their Lord and Savior. That's the promise. In other words, living out our faith doesn't mean our life here and now will work out better or easier, because the hope we put our faith in was never about this life here or now. Our hope lies ahead, not in what is seen, but in what is unseen. Go down to verse 33. Check out the contrast in the different ways living out faith has looked for different people. Verse 33. So there were people who, through faith, conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Now get on to verse 36. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. So in verse 34, you've got people who by faith escaped the edge of the sword. And then in verse 36, you've got people by faith who were killed with the sword. Faith is how we are able to live out our salvation no matter what happens. And this is important because when we appreciate that life is hard, especially hard for some, more so than others, that will test our faith. Moses could have lived the high life with Pharaoh instead of being persecuted with his people who were in slavery. But if he hadn't kept his faith, he would have lost that hope of salvation, which he knew was worth far more than all the riches in Egypt. If we lose our faith, we lose our salvation. Which brings me to my third and final point, which is that faith is how we protect our salvation. It's how we receive our salvation, it's how we live it out, and it's how we protect it. There are two big themes in Hebrews, and if you've been with us this term, you'll know this. One of them we've already spoken about, that Jesus is better. Big theme throughout the whole book. The second big theme is don't fall away. Don't fall away. Chapter 11 of Hebrews shows us that faith is what ties these two threads together, because faith is the application of both, right? Jesus is better, so have faith in him. Jesus is the reason for our faith, and he's the object of our faith. Don't fall away, so keep having faith in Christ. Faith is the opposite of falling away. Faith is how we protect our salvation. Let's take a look. You can see context on either side. This chapter 11 about faith, you can see just immediately before it and immediately after it how faith is about protecting our salvation. Let's go to the end of chapter 10, verse 39. Chapter 10, verse 39. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but are of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Keeping our faith in Christ preserves our souls. Faith is the assurance of what we hope for, and Jesus is our hope. So no matter what trials we face, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and never take them off. Our faith needs endurance. Keep the faith. Let's go to chapter 12, the other side of chapter 11. Chapter 12, verse 1. And remember, it starts with a therefore. This is coming off the back of everything we've just seen, all those people who have lived out by faith, and this is what we're to do about it. Chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all those people we just read about, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set out before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That has to be one of the most powerful images to me in the Bible. Let us run with endurance the race that is set out before us. Jesus is at the finish line. So lock your eyes on him and run. Run the race and never let your eyes wander. Finish the race. Faith is how we protect our salvation. Faith in Christ, fixing your eyes on him. Now, for the record, I reckon it's really worth saying at this point that finishing the race doesn't depend on how strong your faith is, right? The power of faith doesn't come from the degree of faith. The power of faith comes from the object of that faith, okay? You can put all the faith in the world into yourself and you'll fail. But Jesus says you put a mustard seed of faith into him and you can move mountains. Every Christian struggles with doubts of some kind and has moments where their faith is weak to some degree. That doesn't mean you're not a Christian. It's just a reminder of why we are a Christian. Because we need to rely on Jesus. We need to heed the warnings of Hebrews and keep turning back in faith to Jesus every day. Can you guys go to Mark chapter 9? Mark chapter 9, just for a couple of verses that I find helpful. When I've had hard moments, I've always been encouraged by this really brief exchange that Jesus has when there's a father who pleads to Jesus for his son. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. This father who pleads to Jesus for his son. And Jesus said to him, verse 23, and Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said to him, I believe. Help my unbelief. Believe in Jesus, guys, and then for the rest of your life, for the rest of this race, ask God by the Holy Spirit to help your unbelief. All of us are relying on God the whole way to the finish line. And so there's a little bit of a tension here, right? Does the strength of our faith matter as we run this race? Of course it does. If our faith is weak, we could take our eyes off Jesus and lose faith in him altogether. That's why Hebrews warns us against falling away. But if you make it to the finish line, then you finish the race. It doesn't matter whether you had the faith of a mustard seed or the faith of a mountain when you cross that finish line. Either way, you have kept the faith and you finished the race. The degree of faith is not what saves us. It's the object of faith. It's Jesus. So, on one hand, the application of Hebrews 11 is pretty simple. Put your faith in Christ. On the other hand, you look through all of these examples of what faith actually looks like in action, and all of a sudden we realize, oh yeah, easier said than done. But that's why Hebrews has spent so long reminding us up until this point how much better Jesus is than anything else, and why he is always going to be worth it. so that we keep the faith and we don't fall away. Whatever you feel pulling you away, Jesus is better. We have a promised hope of something better. Every person we read about in Hebrews 11 had their faith in something better, didn't they? When God promised a land for Abraham's descendants and none of them lived to see it here, they had faith in something better. Have a look at verse 13. Verse 13 of chapter 11. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having not acknowledged they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. They had faith in a better home, a heavenly one. And have a look at verse 35. When people were tortured and died, they had faith in something better than the lives they had here. And when they were resurrected in this life even, they still knew there was something better ahead. Verse 35. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. And right through to the end of the chapter, verse 39. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Friends, Jesus is better, and he promises you a hope that's better. That what all these other people we read about have been waiting for, they're not going to experience it without us. He's saying, if you're in Jesus, come, you're going to be part of this. Jesus is better, so put your faith in him. It's by faith that we receive salvation. It's by faith that we live out our salvation. And it's by faith that we protect our salvation. I want to finish up by reading a passage from 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you guys are able to flick there with me, 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is worth flicking to. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, Paul is in prison as he writes this. He's at the end of his life and he knows it. And he wrote this to Timothy, his younger protege, with some wisdom on living out his salvation, not falling away and clinging to the hope of the gospel. And I reckon it sums it up pretty well. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Paul says to Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Guys, let us all be able to finish our days on earth able to say that we fought the good fight, we finished the race, we kept the faith. I'm gonna pray that we do that now. So why don't you pray with me? Dear Lord, we thank you so much that Jesus is better. That Jesus is better than anything else. We thank you so much that by faith we can have an assurance of a real promised hope and a conviction of what's unseen for us right now. We thank you for all the examples of faith that people have lived out for us, and we just pray that all of us would also live a life marked by faith. We thank you that you sustain us. We pray that we would fix our eyes on you and run the race and finish the race and keep the faith. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.